Mini episode 177 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number onestdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody. Mini episode number 177 of the FDH Lounge. Another Disney Orlando taping circa WCW 93. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, but we're talking football here today. First thing that we're tackling here at these tapings.
Nice pun, by the way, the first thing that we're tackling.
Yes, we are. Yes, a nice hip tackle.
Yeah, your writers are working overtime, though,
yes.
Football season.
I fancy a nice hip tackle.
Okay, there we go.
Just like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross. We did an early preview of the AFC and the NFC right at the end of the last football season. So we're going to pick it up here again today. And with the season just right upon us here, opening this weekend, going to check it out and see what we think. Starting with the AFC East, we're going to go division by division. And I think we probably concur on a lot of the big picture stuff with this division, Kyle.
Yeah, I think macro we kind of went over this here beforehand. By the way, thank you for having me, Ricky.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
And it seems that you and I agree on a good portion of the division winners. There's not a lot of things that I think as far as playoff teams go, it seems that there's going to be a large overlap. I'll say this, though. One thing you want to talk about macro with the AFC, as we hit the division by division there first. I had a hard time finding six playoff teams in this group.
I did,
out of the entire conference. The NFC, I had to find reasons. I just kind of like nitpick at some of the teams.
Right.
Because to me, there's like eight or nine teams in that conference that to me are legitimate playoff contenders.
Yep.
There really aren't a lot of great teams in the AFC.
No.
And it's funny because for years, I don't know what the line of demarcation is. Last 10 years, let's just say that for argument's sake.
Okay.
The AFC has been considered the premier conference of the two. Now, in our youth, in our childhood, the 1980s, the NFC was the power conference. If you remember, it was some astounding run. Something from like 84 through 98. Again,
yep.
I might be off a year here or there. The NFC won every Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's incredible. No one really talks about that. Not that, it's really earth-shattering stuff, but it's, not as interesting as, say, Tim Tebow or LeBron James for some networks, but the AFC's been considered the superior conference, though, in the modern era.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the last couple of years, the NFC has won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Saints, Packers, Giants.
And they're deeper now, no question.
And certainly the balance of power, the depth, has moved back to the NFC. So I really struggled to find six viable teams. To me, it was like, okay, I had to talk myself into liking teams in the AFC, whereas in the NFC, as we'll get to, I kind of had to talk myself out of liking teams, just to make that clear.
Yeah.
But, as we hit the East, AFC East, if I can transition us back, let's regain focus here,
okay.
Ricky. I think one of those clear contenders resides in this division. Certainly everyone knows who we're talking about.
Yeah. The team that won it last year won the AFC, the New England Patriots. I've got them at 12-4, probably a little stronger than you do in that mix there, because I know you're a little bit wary with the whole post-Super Bowl thingy.
Yeah, if we could play a little good cop, bad cop here on the Patriots, I also have them at 12-4. So we're spot on the Vegas projection.
Oh, okay.
Right now, they're there. Right now, Vegas and offshores, their win total is listed at 12, so we agree with Vegas right there. I think that's a pretty solid number. Certainly, everyone's going to have them winning this division. And they should. They are clearly the class of this among the four teams here in the AFC East. Brady, Belichick, that combination is just going to give you a superior advantage over a 16-game season.
Well, I want to point out one other thing, too, about that offense, because they've now added Brandon Lloyd. And here's the thing, too, for anybody wondering.
The multi-tight end sets. Offensively, this team's going to be great. Defensively, there's cause for concern,
well,
just like last year.
We heard talk this summer, Kyle, Oh, well, does Chad Johnson have anything left in the tank? I'll go so far as to say if Chad Johnson had anything left in the tank, they might have won the Super Bowl. Because if they could have stretched the defenses last year, if they had that missing element to the offense, they would have won the Super Bowl. That would have been the difference maker right there. They got Brandon Lloyd, who's always played well in a Josh McDaniel offense. So who knows?
Yeah, and that's important that McDaniel's coming back.
Yeah.
One of those guys, and we've seen this through the years, there's a theory that goes beyond sports into the workplace where an individual can be over-promoted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah, Peter Principle.
That's exactly what it's called. God, you're so smart, Rick Morris. But we see that a lot with these coordinators.
Yeah.
Wade Phillips is an excellent example as a defensive coordinator to coach. Terrible head coach, excellent defensive coordinator.
Right.
So I think McDaniel, back in his home, back under Belichick, he'll be great. The Patriots offense will be great. To your point about the Super Bowl, hey, some say if Tom Brady can just complete a routine pass to Wes Welker, they win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's true.
I mean, they were there. I mean, it was there for them to win. But if I can get a little theoretical on you with the Patriots,
okay.
You referenced the Super Bowl loser curse, and I wanted to get into this because maybe not everyone's aware of it.
Okay.
Basically, the team that lost the Super Bowl the previous year, which the Patriots did, coming this year, obviously, just to state the obvious, typically does not reach the same point the following year. I can't remember the last time a team that lost the Super Bowl one year got back the previous year. You probably would have to go back to the Bills of the early 90s to do that. I mean, obviously, they made the four straight, lost them all. But in this decade in particular, Ricky, you've seen some real severe drop-offs. Bear with me if you can't hear. Atlanta Falcons in 1998. Remember the Dirty Bird team led by Jamal Anderson? 14-2 for Dan Reeves. Next year, they won 5-11.
Right.
A steep drop. In the Giants, who, of course, won the Super Bowl twice in the last 5 years, they lost to the Ravens in one of the more boring Super Bowls. I remember almost falling asleep during that particular one. 12-4.
Only part of that had to do with the game.
Actually, you're dead on. That's completely true. That's completely true, yes. But the next year, they went 7-9. Year right after that, the Rams. Who could forget, Kurt Warner having his second great season out of three? They go 14-2. They lost to the Patriots. I also fell asleep almost during this Super Bowl for similar reasons. They go 7-9 the next year, and Warner kind of toils in obscurity for a while before he relanded with Arizona.
Right.
The Oakland Raiders. I will go on a rant about this later. The ill-fated Bill Callahan, 11-5 to 4-12. Carolina, 11-5 to 7-9. Eagles, and this is year by year, by the way. I'm not skipping years when I'm doing this. Eagles, 13-3, the year that Terrell Owens single-handedly and courageously gave the greatest effort by a Super Bowl loser, losing player of all time, while Donovan McNabb, that choking dog, was puking in the huddle. Oh, by the way, Skip Bayless, I'd just like to get that tangent off my chest. Anyone who blames Terrell Owens, or Terrell, whichever you may prefer, for the Eagles losing that Super Bowl, needs to have their head examined, in my opinion.
Most courageous effort by a losing player in a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Bob Greasy in Super Bowl VI says hi.
I knew you would pull some obscure thing. And I'm sure you enjoyed watching that game, too.
In the crib, perhaps.
I don't think Brian Aikenhack protects embryos, but I don't even think that one covers you then, pal, okay? Anyway, I digress. Somehow we got from Terrell Owens to Paul Ryan, by the way. That's a seamless transition that seems even out of bounds for this program. The Chicago Bears went 13-3 to 7-9 the following year, so you get the hit. Teams take a major hit. And even in recent years, people are going to say, well, you know, these teams, it's kind of waned a little bit, but the teams have come back and not reached that point. The Steelers last year had lost the Super Bowl, beaten by Tim Tebow in Denver in the first round of playoffs.
Right.
So I can go on all day.
The flip side of that, though, some of the teams that made it were kind of like El Fluco Grande anyways, and were going to recede. The Bears, the Cardinals, etc. You know what I mean?
Well, in today's NFL, I mean, a lot of people are saying about the winner from last year, the Giants, that they were, and well, I mean, it's not an opinion, it's a fact.
Well,
what the Giants were 7-7 through 14 games.
Sure.
They got hot. You could say the same about the Packers 2 years ago.
And I'm a big fan of the every other year theory of football, so that's, again, a hint on my Super Bowl pick later on.
So here's the bottom line. The history is not on the Patriots' side to get back to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's a big picture thing.
Right.
They're going to win this division. They're clearly better than the other three teams. You know,
correct.
When we talk about some of these other divisions, we're going to get into you know, the percentages of repeat division champions,
yep,
it's a little under 50% year to year.
Right.
So I always look, Ricky, and I don't know if you do the same, I want to pick against division champions from the year before. Can't do it in the AFC East.
Nope.
One final point about the Patriots, then we'll move on to the other teams in the division. Is it fair to say that this has become a regular season team? You know, Brady's got this aura about him of a big game quarterback, same with Belichick as a coach.
Yeah.
Choke on this. Since 2000, yeah, I was gonna say. Well, I was like, do I say slap nuts or not?
Wait for Ricky.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Since 2007,
mm-hmm,
when they lost their bid for the perfect season against the Giants in the Super Bowl, the first time they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, this team has won two playoff games, both last year.
Mm-hmm.
One against a Tim Tebow-led Denver Broncos team that completely overachieved.
Yep.
And then the AFC title game the following week against the Baltimore Ravens team that should have beat them, that outplayed them. Joe Flacco outplayed Tom Brady in that game. I remember doing the podcast with you,
yeah,
around that time. Baltimore was the better team that day. They missed the field goal, the drop pass in the end zone. Lee Evans, your boy, dropping it from Bedford, Ohio. And that's that. So two playoff wins since 07? Is that fair for me to say?
No, that's very fair. That's extremely fair. And they've been kind of living on reputation postseason-wise. And again, picking them to, I don't know what your personal thoughts are, but picking them to win the division as strongly as I am, 12-4.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
They get a first-round bye.
Right.
I clearly have them as one of the two. There are two teams that are clearly, I think, better than the rest of the pack in the AFC. They're
right.
One of them.
Right.
But I do not have them going to the Super Bowl.
And that shows you...
And most people do. They have a very easy schedule. And people are, like, you know, doing carpet. Oh, my God.
Right.
So...
Well, that shows you how fair-minded I can be in picking them. It's pretty much akin to if I were to pick Obama to win the election, because I always, every summer, call for somebody to douse that bag of gasoline, that garbage bag with kerosene and light it on fire. So for me to pick them to win the division in that strong a fashion shows you how fair-minded I am, how objective.
Yeah, I guess we are in the no-spin zone here.
I think we are.
Yes, thank you very much.
We got the rest of a division that is not worth the time combined that we've spent on the Patriots.
We did
here.
Go a little long on the Patriots.
Patriots,
yeah.
That's
my fault.
That's fine. But the rest of the division, there's not much to say, or essentially. I mean, Buffalo, I got them for 9-7. You got them for making the playoffs.
You don't... Okay, so... Well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
First of all, their Vegas win total is 8. So we both won the game.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the over. Not a recommended wager.
Right.
When it's that close.
Right.
Now, here's what's really important, though, to talk about. Let's lump the other three contenders, the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins, in one group.
Okay.
None of them won a preseason game. You could make a point that no division looked as awful in the preseason as the AFC East
right.
did. Now, preseason, not always the most reliable indicator of regular season performance.
Right.
I have the Bills at 9-7 just like you, but I have the Bills making the playoffs. Do you not?
I do not.
Wow,
I
so you think 9-7 is not going to be good enough to make the postseason?
9-7 is going to put you in the grid, but yeah, I think they're going to lose on the tiebreaker. I got the Jets at 8-8. I got Miami at 4-12.
Wow.
It's
funny because
they may not be as bad as their record, but I think they're going to lose a lot of close games.
Well, here's the thing. Let's go through. The Bills, in many circles, are a real trendy team. And if that's the case, allow me to toast you the PBR Tallboy, Ricky.
Right.
I remember a game, and granted, it was fluky. I think you and I have talked about this off air. When they beat the New England Patriots at home, they snapped that ridiculously long win streak they had against them.
That's true.
Brady had some uncharacteristic interceptions. They were fluky, as you had mentioned to me, tip balls.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great game. They started 3-0, and through 7 weeks, the Bills were 5-2. They were just really besieged by injury, not just at the skill positions, but along the line as well. They were really hurt along the offensive line. If they can stay healthy and improve that defense a little bit, your boy Wani is the defensive coordinator there now. Now, their defense didn't look very good in the preseason. I'll be the first to attest to that.
The biggest injury they suffered on defense last year was the "we forgot we weren't that good" itis, which really caught up to them in the second half. I'm sorry, your keyboard almost bit it.
Yeah. Rome, I just spit my drink all over my keyboard.
Folks, I almost saw that happen.
Yeah, okay. You're right, but Mario Williams comes aboard this year.
Yes.
That's a key acquisition.
Yeah.
More on him later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're good enough to, and here's the thing, too. This is the kind of thing that only I engage in.
Okay.
Last year we saw two teams that had some of the longer drop postseason droughts both make the playoffs, Detroit and San Francisco over the NFC. Eventually, you just make, you can't go on forever not making the playoffs. And the Bills had some positive momentum, I think, you know, not at the end of the year, but at the beginning. And if they can stay injury-free, I've got them getting one of the two wild card berths.
Okay.
Remember, this is the only team that has not made the postseason since 2000. The last playoff game they're in, you want to feel old here, was that Music City Miracle when Wade Phillips was their coach.
Wow, ain't that?
Well, when Flutie Flakes took the job from your boy Rob Johnson, by the way.
The Music City Forward Pass. I remember that so well.
Yeah, you always like to just crush all these famous plays, don't you?
I do.
Always find something wrong.
I do. That was a fix right there.
So we're pretty same records, but
nine
I got the Bills in the playoffs.
You got the Jets at 8-8, because that's where I got them.
I have the Jets at 8-1.
All right.
Somebody called Jamie Horowitz. We need to start disagreeing on this program. But I've got the Jets at 8-8 fighting for the last playoff spot.
Okay.
Now, speaking of Jamie Horowitz, we could probably, if we chose to, you know, flip a coin. I take Tebow, you take Sanchez, and have some sort of mindless debate on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that.
We're not on a four-letter network.
Yeah, well, yeah. Blog's a four-letter word, too, remember? Okay. But you like that one?
I do like that
one. I've been working on it the last 2 weeks. Here's the thing. I have, in the past, on mm-hmm. this very program,
mm-hmm.
defended both Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow.
Okay.
I thought that Tim Tebow, last year, was the clear catalyst for the Denver Broncos' turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
If you disagree, I think you're dumb. I'm just going to come on and say that. I'm not saying to you specifically, I'm saying to your listeners.
Well, thank you.
I just think that when you have a team that's 1-4, you make a change at quarterback, and that team then wins the division. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, let's keep it simple. I mean, yes, was it a lot of smoke and mirrors? Did it go against the saber metrics of the game?
Yes.
Was it the same thing that I am scratching my head about currently with the Baltimore Orioles in baseball?
Right.
With their 1-1 wins? Yes, it is.
Right.
But, you know, it worked largely. And yes, had Tebow stayed with the Broncos for this year, I think everyone would pick a regression,
mm-hmm.
certainly. But he didn't, and we'll talk about the Broncos later on.
Okay.
Sanchez, and I said this last year, certainly he did regress.
Okay.
In year three as a starter. I thought, year three is usually a critical year for development. He did not do well at all.
Okay.
Particularly down the stretch. But I'll say this. Was Mark Sanchez on the field when the New York Jets had a lead on the Denver Broncos last year on a Thursday night, Tim Tebow marched down the field to win the game?
He was not, but neither did he do very much offensively.
He did, but at the same time, point well made. The Jets are in a position to win that game. Mm-hmm. Rex Ryan's a defensive genius, allegedly. The Broncos were like 95 yards away. You know, Tim Tebow, who everyone on the blogosphere thinks stinks and can't throw and this and that.
Right.
Tim Tebow won the game, bottom line, against a Jets defense that's supposedly vaunted. They allowed Tebow to march 95 yards. Now,
Tebow wasn't able to replicate that in practice.
It's fine. So here's my point with the Jets, and I think you secretly agree. As a matter of fact, I think you publicly agree. I think we've talked about this. If the New York Jets don't make the playoffs, which I don't think they will,
mm-hmm.
it is not going to be the fault of Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow. They do not. They have, and you and I talked about this, Santonio Holmes in particular.
Overrated.
Most overrated set of skill position players in the league.
You betcha.
I know, you know, you're wearing a Pittsburgh Sucks t-shirt. So I can tell you the trend of you coming over here wearing, you know, your Sunday's best, I see. But
You had a neighbor really staring at me quizzically as he was walking his dog.
Did he?
Outstanding, an older gentleman.
Okay. But here's the thing. I know Steeler fans. I'm sure you know Steeler fans. Maybe you don't from that look that shocks me.
My best friend is. So never let it be said I'm not a tolerant person.
Okay, I don't know.
Whatever I think of the gays and whatnot, my best friend is a Steeler fan.
God's sake, that was completely uncalled for. I'm going to ask that to be deleted by the production squad because that was completely uncalled for. But anyway, my good friend Josh, former roommate, I don't think you ever met him. He's a good man. He's a diehard Steelers fan.
Okay.
Diehard. What's a terrible time. Oh, okay. Which is always funny. I always laugh when they bring those things up. But anyway.
Best thing is you can whiz on it and they'll never know the difference.
Well, yeah, okay. But you know what he says? I think you're going to get this.
What?
You ask him, do you miss Santoni Holmes? No, he'd be fourth on our depth chart. I don't know about fourth, but at least third, probably. Okay, well, we're splitting hairs. We obviously would not start in a standard set.
Right.
And this is supposed to be this great guy that Sanchez can't get the ball to. Santoni Holmes stinks.
Yeah.
Plaxico Burress was awful last year. Their receivers drop a ton of passes. Look, I'm not saying Sanchez or Tebow are Pro Bowl-level quarterbacks.
Right.
They're certainly not. But they've seen Sanchez make plays, and we've certainly seen Tebow make plays. Here's what's interesting about the Jets, though. I think a lot of people are going to be like us and going to have them that right around that Mendoza line of 8-8. Isn't it more likely that they'll go like 11-5 or 5-11? Like things go really well or just really horrific?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I mean, they have very good boom or bust potential, in my opinion.
We're looking at the sweet part of the spectrum, what's most likely, but you're right. It has the tendency to go either way, and if I was to bet on either way, especially after the preseason, it would be down. And I'll tell you what, too, that defense, the more they go along, and again, they were so super hyped, you know, about 2 years ago. But now, I mean, you know, Chris Jenkins never materialized. And
I think it's
Ryan's
coaching, not the personnel.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm looking at the personnel on that defense. This is a strange thing. I'm fond of cross-sport analogies. They remind me in some ways of the last decade of the New York Mets. The Mets were, like, top-heavy at certain places on the diamond, and then they'd sign, like, a hobo to go play left field. I mean,
I think, because the season's too long anyway in baseball, I think, like, in the waning days of September for the Houston Astros, wouldn't it be great if they actually, in fact, had a hobo playing left field? wouldn't attendance be better than at Minute Maid if they
Kyle
did that?
Kyle Ross, would anyone know the difference?
I don't know.
That is a very good point.
I would love to do that.
But I'll tell you what, it is one of those things where, you know, you look at that and you look at how it goes, and yeah, that defense has some holes in it. They have superstar players at some positions, and then other positions where it's not what it was 2 years ago, essentially.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. I think it was the Jets' two AFC title game runs had a lot to do.
Yeah.
He's a blowhard. He bloviates a lot. You know, he loves to hear that fake media laugh on Tuesdays. But Rex Ryan is one of the best coaches in this league. I think his personnel is vastly overrated, and that's why the New York Jets will not make the playoffs. They'll be in contention for the last wild card spot. They will not make it.
The average coach will tell you it's a game of inches. Rex Ryan will tell you it's a game of feet.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, your writing team has been working.
Yeah.
Now, to wrap it up with the Dolphins.
Not much to say there.
Well, I think
it's been a long year for Joe Philbin.
Well, I know they're your team. Or your
my 1A, but I mean, my Browns dodged the bullet on drafting Ryan Tannehill, only to see my Dolphins take him.
Yeah,
thanks very much, God.
I don't like him. I don't like him.
He's overrated.
Okay, well,
bad pick.
Now, I know you're a bigger fan of the pro game compared to the college game.
Sure.
So I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
Last year, Texas A&M, where Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback, and his current offensive coordinator, Mike Sherman, was then the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Sherman followed Tannehill in the NFL after he was unceremoniously dumped in College Station. They went 6-6 before the bowl game. Do you know they held double-digit leads in 5 of those 6 losses?
Wow.
So, my point, they don't have that. Texas A&M was, and you know me, so you could take this to the, they were a maddening team to bet on.
Right.
No team gave away, I mean, Sherman, it was almost like they didn't do anything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
They would just be completely out-coached. It's like almost every year, Oklahoma State would embarrass them in the second half. I think there was one or two years in there where Gundy and company really had some nice comebacks on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of caught. I don't like players, you know. He just didn't seem to have that killer instinct. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm ranting a little bit about nothing, but that bothers me about Tannehill. I didn't like him and that. He couldn't deliver in the clutch, it didn't seem.
Right.
But that said, you know, obviously everyone is down on the Dolphins coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. I mean, they were on Hard Knocks, which has kind of been a curse.
Yep.
But you know me. When everyone's going one way, I kind of like to look in the other direction.
Okay.
And they're going to be the last place team. I'm going to say that. But I don't think they're going to be as bad as everyone thinks. If you remember, I came on this program around the time last year and guaranteed you that a Cincinnati Bengals team that most thought was the worst in the league, go look it up, most people thought they were the worst in the league, I guarantee you they would win more than five games. People thought I was crazy for saying that. They won right. 9-1 to the playoffs. I didn't think that was they were capable of that. But it's just that when some all they stink, they stick. And to me, they're not that much different than last year. I mean, certainly, let's go back 365 days with the Dolphins. At this time last year, I said that last year's team was a strong candidate to be the worst team in the AFC. I said 4-12, and through 7 weeks, I looked pretty good. They were 0-7, and I was like, wow, I didn't think they'd be this bad.
They were not nearly as bad as their record, though.
True, but then they inexplicably, get the toilet paper out of your mouth, Kyle, began playing hard for lame duck head coach Tony Sperano.
Well, they liked him.
Well, and all that did was get him fired by an idiot owner. This guy, Stephen Ross, no relation. He stinks, okay? I mean, they'd be better with Rick Ross as their owner, okay, as far as I'm concerned. But they played hard, and there was a lot of momentum, remember? It didn't seem like, oh, the Dolphins, man, they just need to get a quarterback. Because they had Matt Moore, obviously, in the second half, who could not beat up Tannehill. And then it just seemed like there was a lot of momentum around Miami, and remember there was talk they were going to get Peyton Manning, and they just started whiffing on all these free agents.
Right.
And I there is a lot of negativity, but it's I don't think as bad as 4-12. I got them 6-10.
All right. I think they'll be better than their record at 4-12. So you and I may not be too far off on that.
No, I mean, yeah, see, we're kind of writing the same narrative here of the AFC East. By the way, the Jets over-under 8.5 for the year.
Okay.
So we're right there, and then the Dolphins 6.5. So we're both going under there as well, you a little more. So that sounds almost like you're recommending a little bit of a wager at 4-12 there.
That's a decent play.
Two and a half win differential there. I mean, that's a play there from Rick Morris.
That's a fairly strong play. All right, so you're saying Bills wild card. I'm not saying that, but we're both saying New England to win the AFC East.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.